listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Yo, I ain't want to complain, but this thing's in the game. What's your name? Consequence, I'm tight burnt like flames. And why is that? American dreams, they got the ghetto kid and the fiend. Don't stress cause it's not in your bloodstream. Your whole being comes from greatness you remember. Shaitan got you caught in the storms of December. And brothers on the block packing nines like September. Crazy situation, keep your pockets on slender. Yo, I be on the avenue where they be acting brand new. I'm splurging on the Reebok joints for shorty boo. All of a sudden, I saw these two kids fronting, talking out they joints, but they wasn't saying nothing. My hand was on my toolie, it was acting unruly. Say word, yo, word up, yo. I was tight caught up, but I swallowed my pride, let that nonsense ride, because I'm positive it seems that negative dies. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen,
and we're live on the 24th day of Black History Month. This is the first time it's like, man, it's almost over, right?
Come on.
Thank God we almost made it out of the longest year of February ever.
Come on.
But yeah, it's February 24th, Sunday morning. We're ready to do some podcasting. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, Facebook. We have a Facebook page. Just put the Blackout Tips in. We sometimes post stuff there and ask fans questions like, what's your favorite episode? Or, you know, who's your favorite guest? Or something like that. You know, how'd you hear about our podcast? Things like that. It's kind of fun. We also have like pages on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
I know Google Plus is going away, so I won't plug that.
It's we all knew.
Yeah, we all knew, right?
Mm-hmm. It was destined to happen.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, you can find us on social media too. You know, on Twitter, I think we're at TBGWT. And use the hashtag TBGWT when you talk about the show, because that's how we keep up with what you guys think.
Mm-hmm.
You can also leave us 5-star reviews and on iTunes and Stitcher as well. We read those every Saturday for feedback, and we love when we get brand new 5-star reviews. It is now, you know, like I said, in December, you guys are still going strong, leaving them every week. Continue to do that. If you haven't left one yet, what are you waiting on? Let's get it done.
Put that 5 on it.
Put 5 on it.
Ow.
The official weapon of the show is
a taser,
and an unofficial sport,
bullet ball,
and bullet ball extreme. And today's podcast is brought to you by Triangle Wine Company. Triangle Wine Company sells thousands of wines from all over the world for every budget. Visit trianglewineco.com and search by price, variety, region, or browse for organic or highly rated wines. Take advantage of weekly sales and case discounts when you shop online to offset the cost of wine shipping. We know shipping heavy glasses and delicious liquid can be expensive, so you're gonna want to get those discounts. You're gonna want to get those coupons. You're gonna want to get those limited time offers, and they are doing that for you. As a matter of fact, right now they have 20% off. So if you are in on the site and you would like to get a discount, they give you 20% off if you use code TBGWT. Now, I feel like y'all should take advantage of that. I mean, I don't want to tell y'all what to do. You know, I'm not your parents, you know what I'm saying? But in these days, okay, I hear tax returns ain't as thick as they used to be.
Come on.
Okay, I understand the price of the brick going up. Go ahead and get you that 20% off, okay? Tell them we sent you. Put that TBGWT in the offer code when it's time to check out. And, get your wine on, okay? Because we need wine these days to get through, okay? We know this. So, go to trianglewineco.com. And that's where you want to put in the discount code. And like I said, treat yourself, okay? For the Blackout Tips to your family. All right, so make sure you guys do that. Let's get into the show, all right? Got a bunch of stuff to talk about here. Let's see, where should we even start? You know what? Let's go ahead and start with some LGBTQ news, okay? We talk about our family, the LGBTQ peoples that's out there, and the news isn't always kind, it's not always good, but mm-hmm. You know, we like to cover it because I mean, how the fuck else you gonna know what's happening unless you know you listening and out here and trying to see how you can affect life and learn. So let's go.
Mm-hmm.
something I wanna ask you. There's something that I wanna know. And to this question, you have the answer. So tell me what I wanna know. Do you wanna funk? Do you wanna funk? Won't you tell me now? Won't you tell me now? If you wanna funk, let me show you how. Do you wanna funk with me? Do you wanna funk with me? That's right. It's time for LGBTQ news. Which means some of these will be good and most of these will be bad.
Right.
Let's see. Oh God. Yep. A Houston trans woman was shot and then of course misgendered in the news by the Houston Chronicle. Cause you can't have one without the other, it seems. it's crazy. It's like I know we've talked about this many times before, but it's just so crazy that the police and the newspapers and stuff wouldn't want to report this accurately just for the fact that people would know this person as a woman. They would know this person as no longer their birth name or their dead name.
Right.
Just for the fact of, like, if you're trying to spread information to people who would be affected by this
and could help solve it.
You know, it's like if my nickname, and I know, like, you're going by a different name is not just necessarily the same, but let's say,
right,
if my nickname was Rara and everybody knew me as Rara and I got killed and the newspaper was like Roderick, people would be like, I don't know that person.
I don't know who that is. And there are some people that I've known majority of my life and I don't know their real names. Like, right, I just know them by their nickname. So if I'd be like, who are we talking about here?
Especially when you're talking about communities that are targeted, communities where people have lower life expectancies, community where people are murdered more often.
Correct.
It might behoove me to know, like, what violence is happening to people in my community, so I can protect myself as well, not to mention inform people's family members and stuff. But let's see. Houston trans woman shot, misgendered by Houston Chronicle. Anytime, anywhere a trans woman is shot, I have a major problem with it. This is from Trans Griot Blogspot. Anytime a trans woman is shot, I have a major problem with it. But when the crap happens in Houston, my backyard, less than a mile from where I live, I take it personally. A 24-year-old trans woman known as Pinky was chased Thursday morning through a busy Chevron station parking lot just after 11 a.m., the gun-wielding miscreant shot at Pinky twice, cornered her by the front door of the gas station located on the corner of Beltway 8 and Richmond, and fired three shots at her at point-blank range. She was taken to a nearby hospital in an unknown condition. Surveillance cam obtained by ABC 13 caught the incident. That's so wild.
Right?
That's so wild. And then, of course, the Houston Chronicle misgenders her in the reporting of it. What the fuck? Like, well, she's lucky to be alive, it sounds like. And the suspect in the shooting is described as a black male standing about 5'8" tall, who was last seen in light gray sweatpants and light gray hoodie. So another transgender woman of color attacked by a black man, you know. It's a pattern, you know. It's one of the reasons when we talk about on this show, when we talk about, like, black male privilege, when we talk about patriarchy and stuff like that, and people get kind of tight because it's like, you trying to come down on black men? I'm not trying to specifically come down on black men, other than being in the community of, you know, black men, you know. Like, I'm just saying that this is real harm that we're doing. It is a pattern, and it's about our attitudes about the shit, you know. I think it's our attitudes is the way to combat it. I think the reason this happens is mostly because transgender women of color are the least protected people in our society. So you know, this is why these things continue to happen to them. But if we were to change our attitudes about the transgender community, about our own community, about women, I think we would be less prone to want to be violent towards somebody. I can't imagine why this continues to happen. And yet, you know, if you talk to the average black man, he'll tell you that I'm not attracted to trans women. I don't kick it with that. I don't know what y'all talking about or whatever. But it's like, well, continually that attitude seems to be prevalent enough that it's leading to some motherfuckers to like attack this community.
Correct. And sometimes when people, like I said, sometimes when men make that statement, they're saying that based off their knowledge, but you don't always know the people that you interact. You don't know their past. Mm-hmm. So you're saying that blanketed statement, not knowing that you may have been, you may have been attracted to somebody that's transgender, but you just don't know. You're just saying that blanketed statement.
Yeah, I think a lot of men have been attracted to trans women. I don't even think it's like some like outlandish thing to say. I think there are men who are attracted to Janet Mock. There's men who are attracted to like some of the more prominent figures that are trans women, because your eye doesn't fucking just know right away.
Correct.
Or whatever. And it's not until the knowledge is filled in that this person is trans that they then have to do this over performance of masculinity that is this rejection, I believe. Like, oh no, I'm so male that I'm like completely repulsed by this person. And there are some people that take it to the point of violence, you know, and I don't think it's that uncommon a sentiment, because when you listen to just men who proclaim to be straight, who proclaim to not be attracted to trans women, when you just listen to them talk about it in general, they turn themselves into the victim. They're like, what if someone tricks me? You need to tell me this right away, and all this type of stuff. Meanwhile, there are trans women who've been attacked at parties because some dude just saw them, started dancing on them, and when they said, hey, I'm trans, or someone told them that person is trans, they attacked that woman.
Right.
So like, why should I disclose to you? Like, what am I supposed to do? Walk around with a fucking badge? You know, when I know that disclosing to you could also be life or death for me? You know, that seems like something a person will have to earn, not the other way around. Why I need to walk around with a scarlet letter on my chest. But the point being, there is no right way to do it, because no matter what violence happens to a trans woman, especially of color, people are going to justify it no matter what. They're going to always find a way that it was your fault. Maybe she was lying. I mean, what if it was a trick? What if the man was, he didn't know? You know, it's always something other than, you know, to me, the idea that this is a person that we know society doesn't value. So snuffing out someone's life to protect my masculinity, that shit happens every day to women that are not trans, to women, to trans women, to children, to other black dudes, to like that whole, we have to be violent to protect our masculinity that to me is the cause, and this is kind of the symptom. But the daily effects of this symptom are so much more important than your ego, you know. But speaking of which, a Detroit pastor has been charged with a transgender woman's murder, and he's a pastor. Kelly Stowe, a 36-year-old transgender woman from Detroit, was murdered on Friday in the city's Palmer Park neighborhood on Monday. The Wayne County Prosecutor's Office charged Albert Weathers, a 46-year-old preacher, in her murder. After police investigation, prosecutors arraigned Weathers on charges of open murder and use of a firearm in commission of a felony, said a press release shared by NBC News by the Wayne County Prosecutor's Office. Weathers is due back in court in late December. His bond has been set at $1 million. The prosecutor said they will present evidence in court that Stowe's gender identity was a motivating factor in her murder. According to LGBTQ news site Into, Weathers called police to report a robbery, claiming he had shot someone in self-defense, though NBC News has not independently confirmed that this call was made. Friends and family remember Kelly as a lovely, big-spirited, and courageous woman who was well-known in the Detroit ballroom scene. You know, this is also wild, too, because I'm reading this. Are any of us going, well, I don't trust the police? They must be lying. They well, let's wait till everything comes out. Already be honest with yourself right now, because when that Jussie shit happened, I think a lot of people was on that, we never believe the police, but that's not the truth. We don't believe them when we don't want to.
Come on.
The other part of this, when you hear the prosecutors talking about, you know, going after this dude, how many of y'all are like, I hope they lock his fucking ass up for a long ass time?
Yeah, and it wouldn't be surprising, I don't know if it's true or not, that there was some form of a relationship there. Like,
oh yeah,
like,
it wouldn't be surprising.
Like, you know, most of the time when it's something like this, not all the time, there's some form of, they were having a some form of a sexual relationship and something happened.
Yeah, I just think it's kind of interesting because I think agendas collide on these things and people aren't mm-hmm. honest about it, but I feel like the honesty and the transparency of that is where the humanity lies. The authenticity is where the humanity lies. The humanity is not in this, we need to all get on this bandwagon and stick to it like we're fucking Republicans or whatever. I think the truth of the matter is, most of the time we cover these stories, by the time we get to sentencing, we see the value of what trans life is worth in their death, and it's very, very it's very rarely that we see someone sentenced to any long period of time for murder. We're talking about murder. You know, there's a trans panic defense, there's gay panic defense. It's just something telling you that I can go to court and devalue this person's life because of their sexual orientation or gender orientation, and in the courtroom and society at large will agree with me to a point where it mitigates the sentence I get to make it a slap on the wrist. And I'm like, so in this case, I am rooting for a prosecutor to come in and throw your ass under the slammer. So I don't know what that means for me. I don't know what that makes me, but I don't think I'm alone in that.
Mm-mm.
You know, because I'm sick of reading these fucking stories. And then we get there and it's like, yeah, he got 6 years. I'm like, for murder? If you just walked up in the street and cold-bloodedly shot someone in the fucking face, they had, you know, done nothing to you, you would get longer than that. You know, if you just walked into the house and killed your wife or your husband or whatever, you get longer than that. You know, this guy, oh, he just killed his girlfriend. Well, he got to go to jail longer than that. As soon as you say trans, oh, no. That must be a sex worker who was going to rob him and attack. It's, must have tried to come on to him. And it's kind of like a defense. I mean, you can't help yourself. You got to kill people. Like, This shit is so wild. So it's just interesting how the agendas flip depending on how people feel about shit.
Mm-hmm.
I want people to know that because she was transgender doesn't mean she was not loved, that she was not cared for, said Jessica Shante Stowe, Kelly's mother. And in an interview with NBC News, she said she has a family who cared about her, who loved her, and I want them to know that transgender ladies, especially those of colors, they're just not throwaways. People care about them. She was educated, she was God-filled, she loved church, she loved others. As a human being in the United States of America, you have the right to be who you want to be, and you shouldn't be shamed or bullied or persecuted for the choice you make. The victim's cousin, Nicole R. Mapson Cone, started a GoFundMe page to help the family pay for Kelly's funeral costs. Alil Cruz, a spokesperson for LGBTQ nonprofit Anti-Violence Project, called violence against trans women a national epidemic and noted Kelly Stowe spoke out on the violence against trans women just a few years ago, only to become a victim of violence. We mourn the loss of her life at the Anti-Violence Project and will work to honor her by uplifting the whole of her life as a vibrant member of the Detroit community and ballroom scene, and not erase her as a number or statistic. Indeed, Stowe was quoted in 2015 by The Guardian following the murder of 20-year-old black transgender woman. The article, which quoted Stowe using her stage name, Kiana Mattel, focused on trans residents not feeling protected by Detroit's police. The police are unaware with our struggles, so they have no sympathy for us, Stowe told the news site. Nobody ever asked what happened to that person to get here. Stowe's murder case has been assigned to Special Prosecutor Jamie Powell Horowitz, who works for the Fair Michigan Justice Project, a pro bono collaboration between Fair Michigan, the LGBTQ advocacy group, and the Wayne County Prosecutor Office. Dana Nessel, president of Fair Michigan and the state's attorney general, alert said the FMJP was founded because she and other LGBTQ advocates noticed the exponential rise in hate crimes, really against all minority communities, but especially against the LGBTQ community. Cold cases were going unresolved, and many of them, quite frankly, were not investigated very well. They were not being solved, not being charged, and certainly there were no convictions. Like I said, what's the value of a trans life? What's the value of an LGBTQ life? Since the founding of the Fair Michigan Justice Project in 2016, Nestle noted the group has a 100% conviction rate. Yeah, because it's not like these crimes are hard to convict.
Mm-mm.
It's just, is there a wherewithal to convict them? It's not like, I mean, no offense, but it's not like these motherfuckers feel like they gotta be careful.
Mm-mm.
Oh, I gotta assassinate this person. I gotta be careful with how they're like, no one gives a fuck. So I'm gonna kill this person. It's nothing no one's gonna do.
And going by my normal everyday life.
Right. And thanks to the $1 million bail set for the suspect in Stowe's murder is a sign of how seriously Michigan prosecutors now take hate crimes against the LGBTQ community. After she is sworn in as Attorney General, Nestle promised to use her office to push for an update to Michigan's ethnic intimidation statute, the name of the state's hate crimes law, to be more clear, to more clearly include LGBTQ and gender nonconforming people. So this happened in late 2018. So far in 2018, at least 25 trans people have been murdered in the U.S., the vast majority of whom are young women of color, according to the Human Rights Campaign. So, yeah, I'm glad this motherfucker is hopefully go to prison, and I'm glad that the criminal justice system seems to be taking this shit serious this time, because that is, you know, that's harrowing. And then I feel like reinforcing that whole stigma of like, yeah, but I mean, it could really just be he was panicking or whatever. Like, I think all that matters. And then the fact that this guy was a preacher, I wonder what's gonna happen when that what that relationship was, as you speculated.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I wonder what happens, you know. Japan will force transgender people to be sterilized before transitioning.
What?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Human rights and LGBT activists have denounced a controversial ruling by the Supreme Court of Japan upholding a law that effectively requires transgender people to be sterilized before they can have their gender changed on official documents. So essentially, you cannot reproduce.
Okay.
The court said the law is unconstitutional because it's meant to reduce confusion in families and society, but it did acknowledge that it restricts freedom and could become out of step with changing social values. The 2004 law states that people wishing to register a gender change must have their original reproductive organs, including testicles or ovaries, removed and have a body that appears to have parts that resemble genital organs of the gender they want to register. More than 7,800 Japanese have had their genders changed officially, according to the Justice Ministry statistics cited by public broadcaster NHK. The unanimous decision by a four-judge panel, published Thursday, rejected an appeal by Takakito Usui, a transgender man who said forced sterilization violates the rights of self-determination and is unconstitutional.
Right.
Yeah, that seems... That's the thing. It's not really about freedom. It's about trapping you in a new set of rules.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, well, now here's this box you won't be in. Like, I'm gonna punish you. Like, you sure you want to do this? Because if you want to do this, you better sterilize yourself, and then you can change. You know. Despite the unanimous decision, Presiding Justice Mamoru Miura joined another justice in saying that while the law may not violate the Constitution, doubts are undeniably emerging, according to the Usui's lawyer, Tomoyasu Uyama. The two judges proposed regular reviews of the law and appropriate measures from the viewpoint of respect for personality and individuality. The Supreme Court decision ended Usui's legal value, but a battle, but he and his lawyer said the opinions in the ruling left them with hope.
Yeah, my question is this. Who pays for these surgeries? Because the surgeries is a cost. You're telling me to do this. Do you cover it? Are you telling me to do this? Do I have to come out of pocket? So not only are you telling me that I have to sterilize myself, I got to pay the cost for my own sterilization. This makes no sense.
Mm-hmm. Like a extra...
Yeah, like
it could be an extra cost prohibitive measure to make people not want to get the surgery.
Correct, which means I can't get the documentation now because I can't get the surgery you require of me, but it's cost prohibitive.
Yeah, I don't know who pays for it there. That's true. I don't know enough about their healthcare system to really say.
I mean, it's fucked up all the way around, but if you're going to make this rule, you need to cover it then because you made the fucking rule.
Yeah, and I mean, and this fucked up over, this is not just the only fucked up thing about it,
because
it also applies to, I believe, disabled people.
What?
Yeah, last year, another ruling party lawmaker, Mio Soguto, was condemned after saying in a magazine the government shouldn't use tax money for LGBTQ rights because same-sex couples aren't productive. So basically, y'all can't create babies, so we shouldn't even put any tax money towards, you know, helping y'all. Japan does not legally recognize same-sex marriages. As LGBT rights awareness has gradually grown in recent years, some municipalities have begun issuing partnership certificates to ease problems in renting apartments and other areas, but they are not legally binding. So they're very much like America just a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So before everybody gets on their high horse about
right.
this shit, we were doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And we weren't necessarily making the surgery thing, but we were definitely doing the, like, your marriage is not a marriage. I mean, we recognize that in Maine, but if you travel like an hour one way or the other, your ass ain't married no more.
Right. Like, here's a thank you for participation certificate
mm-hmm.
for trying to be married, but, you know, this ain't a real documentation as mm-hmm. far as, you know, put like this. It's one of the things where it's put like this. It's like Mickey Mouse coins. Not Mickey. Yeah, Mickey Mouse coins, like dollars. You can mm-hmm. only use it in the Walt Disney World, Walt Disney Land. You step outside these places, everybody go, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, game tokens. And then what's wild to me is that, you know, once that happened, a lot of people treated it like we got to the mountaintop, and it's like Trump could undo all that shit today. Like, for all this rights and allies and shit, motherfuckers was real comfortable with the idea of Trump winning in order for it to happen, and now that it's happened, every day people living on you know, hoping that this motherfucker don't have some new challenge, and all these states are challenging these laws locally, hoping to escalate to the Supreme Court because they know the Supreme Court is now a Republican Supreme Court. So it's like, yeah, and let something happen to Ruth Bader Ginsburg, it's gonna be even worse. Like, yeah, people have done decades of irreparable harm to the humanity in the United States, and many of those people under the guise of I'm so liberal that I can't support this. Like, it, like, people have let things be worse just, you know, out of hubris in some cases, and of course, obviously, the people that want this to happen, that voted for this.
Yeah, so. And also, it's one of those things too. When they were talking about, you know, gay and LGBTQ people being married,
mm-hmm.
you know, and when the minority non-white people were saying, "Hey, y'all white folks, just happy and joyous." Okay, we can get married now, but what about this other shit? It was right. Shut the fuck up, be quiet, we've made it, we've arrived, like, and people haven't forgotten that. Yeah. So now you want us to push your problem in front of ours again because the shit is about to be reversed. So now you
possibly
want us to care again.
Possibly. I mean, it hadn't started yet. We'll see what happens when it starts, because it hasn't happened yet. But I think everybody's rights was pushed back.
Right.
Like, it's not just, I think, with our country, it really starts with trans people, and it's like the way that people start treating trans people is indicative of how everybody else is going to be treated.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's not fair because they're the least protected, but that's the canary in the coal mine situation of, okay, what does this administration think about trans people? Okay, so then what you think they think about your ass,
right,
as a woman, as a black person, as an immigrant, as a poor person? All, like, they don't think anything different about you than they think about the least protected people in our society. It's just that those people, they can do it too overtly and openly, and depend on the rest of us to fill in behind them, like, yeah, well, you know, I'm not trans, so that's fine, and or, you know, it's about my principles, so whatever happened to them, fuck them. It's that shit, and you know, I'm just sick of it.
Right, because nobody cares until their rights are taken. I will continue to say this. Nobody gives a fuck about nobody else's rights until your rights is taken.
Right.
Give a fuck about everybody's rights. Everybody's rights matter.
Separately, more than a dozen handicapped people have filed lawsuits against Japan's government for having been sterilized against their will under a 1948 eugenics protection law that was in effect until 1996. At least 16,500 people were sterilized without consent under the law, which allowed doctors to sterilize people with disabilities and was designed to prevent the birth of poor quality descendants. Some orphans were also sterilized. The government has maintained the sterilizations were legal.
What is happening here?
It's all the same. All down the same path, man.
Yeah, in the United States ain't no different. They did it here in North Carolina. They had to pay black women a bunch of money because they sterilized them years ago.
Yeah. It's all connected. Teen charged with murder of transgender woman. A 17-year-old boy accused of fatally shooting a transgender woman last year in a secluded area of the South Side was ordered held without bail Sunday. Tremont T. Hill was charged with first-degree murder in August 13th slaying of Dejanae Stanton, a 24-year-old trans woman he was in a sexual relationship with. Cook County Assistant State's Attorney Britt Steinberg said at a bail hearing in Layton Criminal Court Building. Stanton received a text from Hill the morning of her killing asking her to meet him in a lot. Just after 11 a.m., officers responded to a shot spotter alert, found Stanton laying on the ground outside her car with a single gunshot wound to her head. She was rushed to Stroger Hospital and pronounced dead within minutes of the shooting. Chicago police and the Cook County Medical Examiner's Office reported at the time. Text messages between Hill and Stanton revealed that their sexual relationship began earlier in the summer when they arranged to meet at the Empire Hotel. The pair started communicating with each other in July, sending each other more than 400 messages that stopped about 8 minutes before Stanton was fatally shot. Over multiple texts, Hill urged Stanton to delete photos of him from her phone, which she later did, Steinberg said. Hill also told Stanton that their sexual relationship had caused him to become suicidal. So you got this dude, and this is what I'm talking about. Like, he's struggling because of that masculinity being fragile, because he can't even come to grips with himself being attracted to sexually or romantically to a trans woman. Where do you learn that from? Where does that come from to the point where you become suicidal and violent? Nothing should make you feel that way, right? Like we're talking about a trans person, but let's bring it to other groups that people date, right? If you were dating someone outside your race and you started feeling suicidal and violent towards them and wanted them to erase all evidence of y'all ever being together while still texting them 400 times over the course of several months, what does that say about you? Where did you get that from, right? If it was like, because I'm dating someone outside my race, because I'm dating someone who's poor, because I'm dating someone who's an immigrant, we would look at that and be like, that's ridiculous. That person should go to fucking prison. Something's wrong with this person, right?
Correct.
But this is the only situation where we hear these stories and then people go, well, clearly they were tricked, or, you know, I mean, you see, this is what happened when you get tricked and you, oh, he gay, you know, something like that. And that's in his head too. And that's the shit that makes these motherfuckers act out. It's the judgment they feel that is going to come from society because it's so taboo and it's so wrong. And what does it say about me as a man now? So now I have to kill someone, because men can always solidify their masculinity with violence. That is something we always have that well of going to, which is, hey, when in doubt, be violent towards someone, and then you're crowned a man again, right? Yeah. So officers executed a search warrant of Hill's home and found pants with small red stains and other clothing that matched what surveillance video showed Hill was wearing the day of the murder. Didn't even throw the clothes away. Hill's public
17 and dumb.
Yep. Hill's public defender said the cell phone record served as the only evidence and there was no surveillance of the video of the murder. Judge Mary C. Marubio ordered Hill held without bail after saying she took into consideration extensive electronic evidence, including the shot spotter alert, the tracking of his movement from cell towers, and that he stopped texting Stanton at the time of the murder. So he didn't even text her afterwards. So he didn't even try to have an alibi of like, I was just looking for my girl, I don't know what happened. He was charged as an adult with no publishable criminal history and was scheduled to review of his mail Monday.
He couldn't just break up with her? Like, we couldn't have been like, you know what, I this relationship is too much, and you know what, let's break up until I get myself together. Like that, that's okay. Like I don't have a problem with people be like, you know what, I thought I can handle it, I realize I can't. You know, you go your way, I go mine, the end.
Yeah, I can't handle this.
And that's okay to be like, I can't handle the relationship.
There's people that get in relationships all the time and can't handle it for whatever reason they thought they could.
Come on.
And then you break up and that's the end. It's not, and then I kill you.
No.
That to me just proves how unprotected you think that person's life is. That you're like, and I gotta kill you too, of course.
Yeah, I got family members I ain't text 400 times.
All right, last story. Reggie Bullock spends part of his all-star break visiting with LGBTQ youth. Reggie Bullock was planning on going on vacation during the NBA all-star break, but instead is talking to a middle school in Charlotte about inclusion. Reggie Bullock, he's an NBA player. He was planning on, like I said, taking vacation. One after being traded to the Lakers from the Detroit Pistons, and with just 25 games left in the season, Bullock was hoping to take his mind off of basketball before he realized where the NBA All-Star game was taking place. I'm from North Carolina, the 6'7" guard said as he stood in the hallway of Martin Luther King Jr. Middle School in Charlotte. It's good to be back here. I wanted to come back to my home state this weekend and try to have a positive impact. Bullock, who grew up in Kinston, North Carolina, met and spoke with 25 LGBTQ youth and allies from Time Out Youth Center, a safe space for LGBTQ youth in the Charlotte area. Bullock has been an advocate in the LGBTQ community since 2014 when his transgender sister, Mia Henderson, whom he knew as his older brother Kevin Long when they were growing up, was stabbed to death. It was good for me to be able to be there with them and talk to them and hear their stories. They weren't holding back on anything. It opened up my eyes to what they had to go through on a daily basis, because when you randomly walk past someone, you never really know what they're going through. Mm-mm. I'm trying to educate myself every day as a straight man on this community that I stand up for and support. Bullock's first home game as a Laker will be Thursday night. While the season is almost over, he will become a free agent this summer. He hopes to have an impact in the LGBTQ community in Los Angeles. I'm definitely going to try to do some stuff in the community, he said. He's in the sixth NBA season. I would love to be a leader in the LGBTQ community in Los Angeles and be able to use my voice and platform to stand up for them. Bullock didn't know much about the LGBTQ community when Mia was alive. He continued to call her Kevin until her dying day. She never got to see him play college basketball in North Carolina because Bullock didn't know what his teammates and other people would think, and she didn't want to make things uncomfortable for him. He smiles when he thinks of what she would say about his involvement in the community now. I know she would be proud of what I'm doing. It will probably bring tears to her eyes. I know she's looking down on me and smiling and knowing that her brother is doing the right things to keep her name alive. And I know that she's not forgotten. She can't be here with me physically, but she's with me spiritually on an everyday basis, leading me and guiding me. Yeah, that's sad that it took her death for him to, like, come to a reckoning with that shit. I mean, honestly. But, I mean, I guess it's good just going forward. But yeah, it's just sad that she never got to see him be bold like that, and then it took, you know, witnessing her basically die to educate himself. But a lot of times people don't realize, like Karen said, you don't realize it till something touches you in your life, and then you go, oh, this is a really big fucking problem and no one's talking about it. And I was in my privilege being like, I don't need to talk about this.
What the hell wrong with you?
All right. I saw some comments from John Wayne that was racist. It's from 1971 Playboy interview. And, I'm telling you guys, that's it. He said some racist stuff. He said some homophobic stuff. And, I'm officially telling you, I'm done with John Wayne. I will not be supporting any more of his movie projects. Like, the next thing he put out, I'm not seeing it.
That man dead. And ain't that the same man that was on the airport?
John Wayne Airport. Yes. Yeah, when we went to California. Yes. I won't be supporting. Y'all can continue supporting him if y'all want to, but I won't be supporting his movies or anything that he does from here on out. So he's over. He's dead to me. Okay? It's over for him with Rod. Okay? Let me ask you a question, Karen. Do you pronounce the ES in Chuck E. Cheese? Do you say Chuck E. Cheese's?
Good question. I don't know. I call it Chuck E. Cheese.
Right. I do too. You think that's a black thing, or you think it's an everybody thing?
I think that's an old black thing. They will throw an S on everything. Oh, certain things I do, but most of the time I don't, though.
Wait, you say black people will throw an S on everything?
Yeah, old black people will.
Nah, that's what I'm saying, but this the opposite, though. Chuck E. Cheese, you taking the S off of. It's Chuck E. Cheese's. But people do it with other stuff all the time, like Neiman Marcus's or
I've heard that.
Like they add
Jason Penney's.
Yeah, Sally's Beauty Supply.
Come on,
it's just Sally. We normally add
yes,
that
Sally's.
We normally add that apostrophe S, but Chuck E. Cheese got to be the only thing we take the apostrophe S off of.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay, yeah, we take it off of, yeah, because I call it Sally's.
Because it's technically Chuck E. Cheese's. That's the name of it. It's not. Oh. It's not Chuck E. Cheese.
Oh yeah, we're going to Chuck E. Cheese.
No, you're going to Chuck E. Cheese's. That's his house. That's where he lives. That's his residence. I say Chuck E. Cheese like it's a type of cheese. Swiss cheese.
Come on,
Monster cheese, cheddar cheese, and Chuck E. Cheese.
Come on, right.
I don't know. I don't know if it's a black thing or just an everybody thing. I hope that show Ma, I mean that movie Ma with Octavia Spencer, have you seen the trailer for it yet?
Ma, what about Ma? No.
Okay, you haven't seen it. Octavia Spencer is playing a black woman and she befriends all these kids from high school and then she starts fucking making their lives a living hell. And it's
I think
like
I seen bits and, cleas- bits and
bits and pieces.
Correct.
I hope that she's secretly stalking all the kids that be snitching on Malia Obama, because
I wish they
somebody
that
is
bullshit.
Telling all Malia Obama's business,
right?
And I want Ma to come visit them and just be like, you know what, I don't like
no,
the way y'all get
that
down.
Bullshit. Let that girl live.
I have some podcasting advice. Sometimes people ask me about podcasting advice. I have some podcasting advice I like to depart on all of y'all. And a lot of independent creators need to hear this. Okay, so dear independent podcaster and or amateur porn creatives, please change the smoke alarm in your battery in your house, okay?
Yeah, because it beeping every 3 minutes ain't cool.
Sincerely, a fan, all right? Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to come down on you, okay? I support the arts, but change your motherfucking smoke detector alarm, dog. It's annoying. I don't live there. I haven't gotten used to it.
You can hear deep.
Come on now. You out here looking stupid. Nah, I'm just the one that's nice enough to tell you the truth about the shit. A lot of people would be afraid to tell you the truth, but that's what you got Rod here for, is that he's not afraid to be honest with you. I'm not being mean about it, but you need to change that shit, dog. Every 2 minutes and 13 seconds, I don't need to hear that beep. Why are you trying to make an important point? You know, now I'm in my house like, is my smoke alarm going off?
I know you're looking up. Wait a minute. Did we change our smoke alarm?
Someone leave the refrigerator open.
Ain't you supposed to change it like once or twice a year or something like that?
Change it when it beeps.
Ooh, ah, the ghetto.
Just saying. What other random thoughts did I have? Oh, I was the other day shopping at Publix because that's where I go now. I came all the way around on Publix. I like them now.
You know what? I did too.
Because now I just tell the person no, they don't need to push my buggy out. Unless they're one of them real, like, super fucking, like, aggressive people, then I'll let them
do it. Some
of them
are so aggressive, they won't even give you the chance. You turn around and your stuff will be halfway to the door.
Yeah, they were like, take this to your car. I'm like, I mean, it's either that or you stealing it.
Come right.
Slow the fuck down, dog.
You 5 feet away, yes, we can go to the car.
Now let's have an awkward conversation about the weather.
That's normally what happens.
I wonder if they ever get tired of talking about the weather, because that's all the fuck people do. Oh, this is the weather we having today, huh? Yep, it is weather. And it is happening.
I know you hate those conversations.
Did you see the weather from earlier? Yes, it was different than the weather from now. And I bet you it will be different in the weather in the future. That is correct. Well, you have a great day. You too. Here's a coupon.
Right.
They don't even get the coupons out no more.
Oh, probably because we're not a new store anymore.
I don't know. But I don't know. Anything to get it over sooner. But yeah, the other day I was at checkout at Publix and this woman, she was a first time shopper there, and mm-hmm. She was unloading her stuff and she turned around to me. I had my headphones in and she was like, excuse me. And I said, ma'am, I took my headphones out. She said, do you shop here often? And I said, yes. And she said, well, do I need like a special like card or something so I can get these discounts? And I said, ma'am, mm-hmm. Every customer at Publix is a VIP.
Come on.
And every item is already a good savings.
Mm-hmm. You don't gotta have no cards.
And that was not an ad. That was just how I felt. I was like, ma'am, you don't need VIP. You mm-hmm. are already a VIP.
Come on.
Now go on and get your savings on. The other day, I have to ask, what is the, correct serving size of Girl Scout Thin Mints? Is it a sleeve or is it a box? Does anybody know what the appropriate serving size is? I've been going
probably,
with a sleeve.
Probably three cookies.
I've been going with a sleeve. I haven't looked at the nutrition on the back of the box, but I assume I assume a sleeve is a serving size, because it's the only, that's self-control, you can just eat a sleeve.
Yeah, it is, versus the whole box.
It's like, oh, I only ate a sleeve. I'm getting better. Ooh, keto.
You know? Come on.
But I think they need to start just calling them fat mints. Because that's what they keeping me. Okay, guys. That's me doing stand up in my brain after downing another sleeve of them thin mints. I'm like, thin mints? More like fat mints. Am I right? Thick mints. They keeping me thick.
Come on, all the way thick. Me too.
All right. And the last thing. So, since we have been off the air, some major news has happened. R. Kelly has been arrested, indicted. He's being charged. We'll get into the details of it because we're so excited. Okay, I love it. This is the kind of Chicago PD police work I support.
Yeah, I do. I support this type.
All right, the rest of you motherfucking hypocrites. I'll admit it. I was giddy at the sight of this black man in handcuffs. Yes, I admit it. I don't like that nigga, and I think he's a goddamn pedophile rapist. Too bad if he goes to prison. I don't care. Whatever happens to him happens. Like, you can't trick me into feeling bad for this nigga. Nope. But yeah, so more videos came out. It was just like I said too. Remember when I was like, yo, I'm glad they did that R. Kelly documentary. I understand people have misgivings. Yes, it sucks to see people that are abusers in the documentary talking about abuse is bad.
Right.
It's like Spider-Man pointing to Spider-Man. And I feel everybody that, oh, it was too triggering and I couldn't watch it. And I said, I'm just so thankful for this documentary because a guy like that does not stop. Someone like that has won. They think they're invincible. They think they figured the system out. Why would he ever fucking stop? And I believe he hadn't stopped filming himself. Mm-hmm. I believe he hadn't stopped having sex with underage girls. All that shit.
Nope. And doing a documentary, everybody talked about a big ass bag full of tape. So, you know, it's taped somewhere.
Right. And so new videos came out, with him having sex with a 14-year-old and now there's new accusations and charges, women coming forward, Gloria Allred, the guard, here representing. And so he got put on a no bail warrant that was issued for him. He appeared in court, then he got like $1 million bond, so he had to put up a tenth of that, $10,000, $100,000. He don't even have $100,000. Mm-hmm. His lawyer said his finances are in disarray. He doesn't have money, so that means that hopefully Mute R. Kelly stuff was working.
Yeah, a lot.
Hopefully, who knows? He could just be
lying.
Well, I wasn't gonna say lying, but he could have just spent his money on a bunch of other shit too, you know. But hopefully that Mute R. Kelly shit is what kept him, you know, like it worked. Hopefully that did keep him from having money.
You know what? And this is just my, I'm gonna say hypothesis or prediction. That it started affecting his income, like on the low. People started slowly, they didn't even make it public, like he may have been on shit and they just took him off, like, you know, and they ain't make no announcement. Next thing you know, he just off of the list of artists, you know, his label dropped him, you know, sponsorship went down. Like, so yes, it has to affect the bottom line, which is your money, and right. His expenses did not go down.
Yeah, I don't know what his money looks like, but there's this thing where, so a lot of people think, when we talk about money, they're like, oh yeah, it's a lot of money because, like, look where he lives, look how he gets around. You're right. That's a mistake a lot of people make. Same thing happens with athletes. When you go, mm-hmm. How did this athlete end up broke? If you're spending the money you're getting in, because in your mind, you assume, I'm going to get more money.
Correct.
I'll just do another tour. I'll put out another album. I'll make another video. And so as long as you keep thinking, well, the money will keep coming in, guess what you start doing? You start spending based on what you expect to happen. It's not just people like us that live check to check. It's rich ass celebrities and shit that also have that mentality of easy come, easy go.
Mm-hmm.
So it is possible for him to have been, to be broke right now. It's possible for him not to have this money to get out of jail. And a guy like that should have $100,000 sitting around and want to get out of jail. It's not like he's gonna be in there like plotting and planning, like, yeah, let the people see me in jail. No, he want to be free. He wanted, you know, but they took his passport. He can't have contact with people under 18. So, you know, I could definitely see him not just not having the money and shit.
Yeah, and for some reason, people don't think that, quote unquote, people think, well, you're a celebrity, you should have, like, you have expenses, money goes in, money goes out, the same thing. And guess what? The more money you make, the more your expenses are, you know,
right?
Because to us, quote unquote, that's a lot of money,
right?
But once you're in the realm that he's in, that's not really a lot of money,
right? Because keep in mind, he's been leaking assets for years now.
Mm-hmm.
Losing houses,
right? So this
not
is
paying child support. Like, it seems that this has been a thing of him, like, there's been signs that the boycott was working, and, you know, and that's a, and Mute R. Kelly was an actual boycott.
Mm-hmm.
They had goals in mind. They had demands in mind. Mm-hmm. They organized. They went out and marched. It wasn't, no offense to the Kaepernick people and shit, but it wasn't just, I don't feel like watching this.
Come on.
It was, no. When this happens, then we will be satisfied. And I think it really did hurt his money enough that he ended up fucking in prison and can't even make bail.
Yeah, and then streaming services now on the low, a lot of them actually allow you to suppress, like where certain artists, it'll strip certain artists off your list. They won't pop up. You can kind of mute the artist. And once that was implemented, people just muted him. So now you're talking about your streaming go down, which is where everybody, you know, most people make their money off of streaming nowadays. And you have to think, years ago, he was still number one popping on the charts. When is the last time he had a number one song popping on the charts? It's been a fucking hot minute. So all this income is not there anymore. Like you said, you have slowly seen over time where that income has went down, because like you say, you're losing homes, not paying child support. Hey, that means money isn't coming in like it used to, dog.
Yep. He's charged with 10 counts of aggravated criminal sexual abuse by Cook County State Attorney Office. Records obtained by DailyMail.com revealed that most of the counts he was charged with on Friday involved girls who were between the ages of 13 and 16 at the time. The fourth, who claimed she was assaulted by Kelly in 2003, was over the age of 18 at the time of the alleged offense. Kelly, 52, will appear in bond court on Saturday and then be formally charged on March 8th. On Friday afternoon, Chicago police were handed a no bail arrest warrant to bring in Kelly after a judge signed off on the order. Kelly was previously denied all allegations of assault abuse to his lawyer, who was unaware of the charges against his client when contacted on Friday afternoon. I honestly think I could be a defense lawyer. Not morally, obviously, but I feel like for a guilty rich person, it's so easy. Like, what do defense lawyers even have to do? They just go on TV and be like, they didn't do it. And no matter what you say, they didn't do it. They didn't do nothing. They didn't do anything. Robert Kraft gets arrested for getting hand jobs at a fucking spa in Florida. His lawyer was immediately on TV. He didn't do nothing. They don't got no, it's all fake. He denies all wrongdoing. He did nothing wrong. Okay. Jussie Smollett, the evidence starts looking kind of fake on him, looking kind of bad. May or may not have basically done a hate crime or coordinated hate crime against himself, possibly. His lawyer, Jussie did nothing wrong. Okay. Not one thing. All this shit is just coincidences. This is just the Chicago PD trying to frame an innocent black man. Get the fuck out of my face.
Same thing with Bill Cosby. The tactic is deny, even if the shit's going, like, you just deny.
And then the other one is R. Kelly. Hey, he didn't do nothing wrong, okay? All these women are lying. They are trying to frame this man. He is just a black man. The Chicago PD, y'all know they racist. Let my man free. He didn't do nothing wrong. How much do you get paid? You know, to be able to do that, to just be, hey, nothing to see here. Nobody is ever like, I can see how this looks bad. They always just like, nope. What? I perished the thought that my man would do something like that. So because y'all got 25 years of evidence of this man possibly preying on children, y'all niggas is out here talking, wow, that is crazy. Wow, I can't even believe my eyes. Y'all really just gonna say this to my face? I'm insulted as his lawyer. Please make the check out the cash, okay?
Come on.
It's crazy. Like, his lawyer been getting into it with people and shit. Like, what are you even paid for? Like he said, on one of the cases, there are a number of interviews where the young lady says, "I lied about how old I was," Greenberg told reporters, and then recently said, "Oh no, I lied about lying and how old I was." Jim DeRogatis was quit. He's a reporter in Chicago that's really been on R. Kelly's ass for years.
Mm-hmm.
He was quick to point out that Greenberg's statement was inaccurate. The writer pointed out that the accuser in question admitted that she initially lied to Kelly, but then she eventually showed the singer her real ID, which proved she was underage. He said, "Don't misquote a victim, Mr. Greenberg. That's not what she said. She was here today. Did you see her tears?" The attorney then mentioned DeRogatis' upcoming book about the Kelly case, suggesting the writer had an ulterior motive. "I don't give a fuck about selling a single book," DeRogatis replied. "I've talked to that woman. I've talked to 47 others. I'm not Mr. Michael Avenatti, and I'm not you. Let's keep it professional," Greenberg said. "Don't swear at me." Greenberg went on to say Kelly has yet to get the bond money together, but is hoping he'll be released sometime this weekend. The attorney also maintained his client's innocence, stating he never forced anyone to have sex. Oh, okay. Well, that's fine. As long as you can, I mean, sure, they're 14, but I didn't force them.
How is this professional?
Because a lot of people only consider rape to be like physical assault, like punching someone. But you're talking about a child. A child can't consent.
No, what kind of shit can't. Is that?
If some 54-year-old man came home with your 14-year-old relative talking about some, "I didn't force myself on him," you are going to still end up kicking that nigga in the chest. Nobody's going to be like, "Well, I guess it's okay." You know, well, I shouldn't speak for everybody. I don't know what y'all motherfuckers would do. I am not going to be like, "Well, I guess it's all right then." Well, shit. I mean, well, it's not rape, as Whoopi Goldberg said. Fuck out of my face. He's a rock star. He doesn't have to have non-consensual sex, Greenberg said. That's his lawyer, y'all. Come tell me any of us couldn't do that job. Like, what's the difference? Mm-hmm. Any of us could do that job. He ain't doing shit.
I can do that. It wasn't me. Hey, it wasn't me. Next question. It wasn't me.
Right.
I mean, that's literally all you're doing.
Right. Good grief. Also, I mean, look, all of us can look at somebody who's 14 and be like, "That person's 14. What the fuck?"
Right. You can look at a child and tell the child is a child.
It's like they try to get you in these like hypothetical like realities that don't really exist, where we're all like, "That person's 14. I had no idea. I thought they were 37.
Mm-mm. Start talking. You can tell a child is a child.
A man with a history of having sex with underage children. Yeah, no need for me to check for ID. I think I can eyeball it. The fuck? Oh my god. Alright, let's see what else is happening. A judge strikes down the North Carolina voter ID law that was okay by voters. Shout out to activist judges. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Bullshit.
The law is some bullshit. Voter ID law.
And that's why they was like, "We don't give a fuck what they voted on. It shouldn't have ever went to the voters in the first fucking place."
Mm-hmm. He voted constitutional amendments approved by voters in November requiring photo identification to vote in person and capping the state income tax rate. The judge sided Friday with the state NAACP, which argued last year's edition of the General Assembly that voted to put amendments to the North Carolina Constitution on the ballot was illegally constituted due to racially gerrymandered districts.
Right!
The NAACP challenged 4 amendments. Only 2 of them, the voter ID and income tax cap, were approved by a majority of voters. Wake County Superior Court Judge Brian Collins wrote the amendments placed on the ballot by a legislator that did not represent the people of North Carolina. The decision could be appealed by legislative leaders who were sued. So we'll see what happens from there, but shout out to the fight.
Yeah, fuck them. We shouldn't have to have no goddamn ID to vote.
Right. Virginia Republicans plan hearings in the sexual assault allegations against Lieutenant Governor Justin Fairfax.
Before we move on.
Yes, Cam.
Yeah, like, and the shit that made me mad is that the people that fucking passed these laws, what about that motherfucker that fucking cheated and now they're actually going back and forth about his cheating? I think his son was like, "Hey daddy," he actually testified against his daddy. Was like, "Hey daddy, you know that this dude that you working with, yeah, I digged into him because the dude he was working with had like lost running before." And he was like, "There's something fishy about his absentee ballots," and his daddy didn't want to hear him. And the son was like, "Okay, fuck you." They called him. His son was like, "You want to testify against your daddy?" "Yes, my daddy cheated." fuck him. I'm sorry. That doesn't make me mad when you pass these fuck ass laws, but y'all talking about voter ID? What, niggas, we ain't the ones cheating.
Oh yeah, I just, you know, I'm just letting you go off, but I have the details of it here as well for those who don't know about it. So in Atlanta, we had a district, I want to say it's district 9, the mm-hmm. ninth congressional district. We had some voter fraud, y'all. Mm-hmm. There was let's see, it was Republican Mark Harris. He committed systemic election fraud. There's overwhelming evidence that a man named Leslie McRae Dallas, who took motherfucking pictures with each other at a Republican event, ran an illegal operation to harvest and forge absentee ballots in North Carolina's 9th congressional district. What was less certain is how much Mark Harris knew about it. The North Carolina State Board of Elections is holding hearings to help it decide whether to order a new election. They did. In the official count, and by the way, he can run again in the official, like, I don't understand.
Right.
I feel like that should disqualify you.
Right, and somebody else ought to run.
In the official count, Harris is leading his Democratic opponent, Dan McCready, by 905 votes. On Wednesday, Mark Harris's son, John, an assistant U.S. attorney, testified that he repeatedly warned his father about McRae Dallas's tactics. In phone calls and emails, John Harris told his father that he believed McRae Dallas was breaking the law, and emphasized the legal and political risk of hiring McRae Dallas for the 2018 campaign. Mark Harris ignored his son's warning and he hired McRae Dallas anyway. Then, when McRae Dallas' illegal activities were exposed, Mark Harris claimed to be taken completely by surprise. In the 2016 Republican primary, Mark Harris faced incumbent Congressman Robert Pittenger, the fellow challenger Todd Johnson, Pittenger ended up narrowly defeating Harris and Johnson before finished third. That evening, John Harris emailed his mother and father to flag that Johnson got a significantly disproportionate share of an unusual number of absentee by mail votes in Bladen County. John Harris said the discrepancy may be worth investigating. Indeed, the results were stark. Johnson received 214 absentee mail votes in Bladen County. Harris received 4, and Pittenger received none. John Harris told his dad that he was concerned someone was collecting ballots, which is illegal. Mark Harris told his son that night someone was running Johnson's absentee ballot operation, and that person was McRae Dallas. In 2016, McRae Dallas filed a complaint alleging Democrats were committing voter fraud. Right. In an email to his son sent November 15, 2016, Mark Harris noticed that McRae Dallas is the same guy that Johnson paid to run the absentee ballot program for him. Guess he didn't like the Dems cutting into his business, Mark Harris quipped. Right. So Mark Harris knew. Just in case, you know. Mark Harris, the guy who was taken completely by surprise, knew that this was the guy who he hired later to run his campaign. He knew that it was his business, quote unquote. Mark Harris's joke suggests that as of November 2016, Mark Harris was well aware McRae Dallas was a fraudster. In 2017, he got a warning. Mark Harris met with McRae Dallas about potentially running an absentee ballot operation for his campaign. The next day, Mark Harris spoke with his son. John Harris reminded his father that he thought McRae Dallas broke the law during Johnson's 2016 campaign. He believed McRae Dallas was harvesting ballots, which is illegal in North Carolina. Mark Harris said that he believed McRae Dallas's operation was legal. After the phone call, John Harris emailed his father. The key thing that I'm fairly certain they do that is illegal is that they collect the completed absentee ballots and mail them all at once. John Harris wrote, he included a copy of the criminal statute. Mark Harris was brainstorming scenarios in which McRae Dallas might not be breaking the law. In an email to his son, Mark Harris said, Mom brought up a good point. Maybe they just go with the person to their personal mailbox, put it in, and raise the red flag for the mailman to pick up.
The fuck no. That's stupid.
In another email, John Harris asked his father to consider whether he'd be comfortable with the full process McRae Dallas uses being broadcast on the news. John Harris also wrote, based on the regularities associated with McRae Dallas's work in 2016, he should be prepared for negative publicity and possible criminal investigation. I raised red flags at the time the decision was made to hire Mr. Dallas, John Harris said. John Harris said, despite these warnings, his impression is that his father had already made up his mind to hire McRae Dallas because he had demonstrated a record of success. So he had cheated successfully in the past, so why not? John Harris said he thought McRae Dallas was breaking the law, and I was right. Mark Harris said no one warned him. So he's like, nah, even though his own son had warned him, he said no. No one told me.
Who's an attorney general that was like, hey daddy, this ain't gonna end well. And his dad was like, fuck it. So you basically forced it because the position of his son was like, hey, fuck you, daddy. Yes, I'm gonna tell the truth. Yeah, you did it. Yeah, you hired him, and here's the proof.
John Harris had testified multiple times that he warned his father.
Multiple times.
But in an interview last month, Mark Harris said, you know, I guess you could say I almost took a pastorly role to McCrae Dowless. I found him to be very enjoyable, man, who I chatted with. And again, everyone that I talked to seemed to respect him and seemed to love him. I had no reason to think otherwise. A goddamn lie. Mark Harris was asked in the interview why he didn't become suspicious of McCrae Dowless' tactics in 2018 primary. In that race, Harris collected 437 absentee ballot votes in Bladen County to Pittenger's 12. Why would I expect that success was a bad thing, he said. They have emails. He's in another January interview, Harris said that he never heard one red flag about McCrae Dowless. You never heard one red flag? No, not in that meeting. In that meeting, it was very clear. But at all, ever? No. Except I would later learn that obviously there had been things in the past that had been looked into, but everything that had been looked into, everything had come out perfectly fine. Harris said all the people he talked to spoke very highly of McCrae Dowless, and he said that he had learned about McCrae Dowless' activities in December 2018, and what he found out, he was infuriated. December 3rd, 2018, after federal investigation into the Harris campaign was lodged, John Harris, the son, emailed his parents to say that he needed to cut off contact until the investigation was over, since he works for the Department of Justice.
Right.
John Harris also probably realized, based on what he knew about McCrae Dowless, that he might eventually be required to testify about what he knew. Speaking with his father could have been interpreted as an effort to obstruct the investigation. Mark Harris did not turn over emails to investigators. John Harris discovered the emails with his father about McCrae Dowless by searching his own account in December. His father's attorney had told him that the campaign would provide the emails to investigators. In late January, John Harris learned that never happened. So he turned the emails over to investigators himself. According to Mark Harris's attorney, he didn't know his son would testify today. The emotional conclusion, John Harris grasped the significance of his testimony. I love my dad and I love my mom, okay? I certainly have no vendetta against them. No family scores to settle. I think they made mistakes in this process, he said in his testimony. Mark Harris, listening from the audience, cried. What's next? Mark Harris will testify next. McCrae Dowless refused to testify, saying he would need criminal immunity before he answered questions. Why you need that, dog? The hearing was supposed to conclude this week, but may end up taking longer.
And the thing is, on the low, kudos to his son, because this is the shit that people ask white people to do, you know, and ask people to do, period. Like, have some fucking integrity. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of people would have folded, never sent no emails, no, because, you know, it's family over everything. But he was like, y'all fucking frauding the voters. I warned you. And the thing is, for the son, I'm not losing my fucking job because of you.
Also, I mean, it's his dad. Like, that shit had to suck.
And right.
Like, it was his dad who he tried to tell not to do this.
Right.
Like, it wasn't like that thing where it's like, I knew my dad was doing this. I was cool with it the whole time. It's like he was just hoping his dad would do the right thing, because I'm sure his dad is full of shit, but has told his son about doing the right thing. You know, the stuff fathers are supposed to tell their sons, and he wasn't doing any of that. It's trash.
Yeah, and like you said, I know it was a hard decision to make, but he was actually looking out for the greater good, which is the voting populace.
Yep. Jussie Smollett has been removed from the final Empire season, 5 episodes following the rest. So I don't even know what that. People still watch that show. What is it even like at this point?
I don't know, but people watching it.
Well, we'll see, man. You know, every day is a new report of, still, it's been weeks now, you still have contradicting information coming out and stuff. And you know, the memo for the check said for training, not, I mean, as if the memo would say for attack on me, please, or whatever. But more information is coming out with that. You still, like, the memo, like, there's basically like notice, and the brothers never said the check was for the attack. So, you know, it's like this training check that the police are presenting as evidence might not have nothing to do with the shit. Another thing that happened was, some of the text messages between them are about training. You know, now what I think has happened is that Jussie's people have started to leak shit to TMZ too, which, to be honest, they should have been leaking shit. Mm-hmm. Like anything that can make the narrative not as one-sided as how it's presented to everyone else, you can't beat them, you gotta join them, to be honest, because leaks are gonna happen with something as salacious as this, with a celebrity involved. The idea that the expectation that nothing should ever leak from this investigation was always kind of stupid, because every celebrity that gets any level of criminal scrutiny, all that shit get leaked. We all know it. You know, people try to act like this case was different, but it ain't that different. It's kind of more normal than anything else. So yeah, you got to get in the game too. You got to start leaking your own shit to be like, this, let me tell you what's really happening. So it was kind of obvious from the jump that you could interpret the check two ways, you know, cause you could be like, well, that's what people do when they get physical training. They write a check, or possibly, you know, and that's about the right cost for physical training, you know? Also because, they didn't have the text from his side, you know, but got the text from the brothers, you know, not all those, I doubt all the texts would be about that, or if they would even talk about that on text, you know, there's stuff where it's like, hey, can y'all meet? We need to talk about something. So if he's smart, like, let's say he did set this up on himself, but he's not a fucking idiot, then he probably was like, let's talk about this shit away from like something that can have a track record. Why would I'm not gonna fucking g-chat you the plans to my, you know, hate crime hoax or whatever. And the FBI is investigating the letter that was received on the set that was specifically targeting him and saying that, hey, we can't prove so far that he sent it. We don't know that yet. So we'll see. Maybe he didn't even send that letter to himself, you know. I'm still, put it this way, I still would rather the best scenario be that he did not fake a hate crime.
Agreed.
Now, unfortunately, that's sad because that means a hate crime happened to him, and that, you know, that's fucked up. And maybe I'm looking foolish to people for this, but I don't care. I've been saying how I feel. If he got me, he got me. I would rather he be telling the truth, and this is just this huge like misunderstanding coincidence. I'm not saying I believe that. To be honest, I don't think it looks good for him, but maybe there's a 1% chance that's what it is. I would rather it be that, because if not, then this dude really just threw away his career over some dumb shit. Now who knows what other evidence they have and stuff, because the police presented like a narrative at that press conference they have, and I don't know that narrative is gonna hold up. We'll see. I'm trying to think, was there something else with that case? Training. Oh yeah, I covered it all. All right. But yeah, I keep sharing and talking about that news because, I try to cover it at every step, because some people have been doing this thing where they're cherry picking, like the things that make them look guilty, the things that make them look innocent, or we just not going to talk about it. And knowing they talk about every other messy fucking thing on the planet, but this time we too good to talk about it. Nah, let's talk about it. It's fine. It's going to work out however it works out, with or without us anyway. All right, let's get into some games. Let's do some fucking with black people.
We're just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with
black people. That's right, guys. Time to play the game we all hate to play. It's fucking with black people. The game, we go all around the globe, find different articles to make us feel fucked with, and we assign point scores of 0 to 100, intervals of 25. Today's contestants, everybody. Governor Northam's going on his listening tour, Karen, after the blackface controversy.
Oh, shit, no.
He's canceled the first stop.
Oh, what happened? Why did he cancel it?
Now, this is kind of interesting. He canceled it because he got a letter from the Virginia Union University student government asking him not to attend a chapel service Thursday honoring a group of 1960s civil rights era protesters. He announced a cancellation on his Twitter account. I appreciate the original invitation of VUU's administration, but I will abide by the students' wishes. I accept the Student Government Association's invitation for future dialogue and honest conversation on issues of race, reconciliation, and equity, he said in a letter posted to his account. I welcome opportunities to listen, learn, and discuss how we can move Virginia forward.
That's understandable.
All right, so 0 to 100 then.
Oh, 0. He respect their wishes. He be like, I'm coming anyway.
I gotta give it a 0 as well, because there was no right answer.
Correct.
If he would have came, we would have been like, motherfucker, we told you not to come. Those black kids said, don't take your ass up there, and you went anyway. Proof that you are not an ally and you do not listen.
Right. So he respect their wishes. So now you people still gonna be mad regardless, but I'd rather him respect their wishes just not come.
And in all fairness, they asked him to not come to this one, but they did say they will invite him to a future session specifically to talk to him, and he said he will attend. So for me, this is a 0.
Right.
You know, the only way is goes back up is if I find out they had that, they scheduled that session, and then he gave them the stiff arm like, I ain't coming to that shit. Now then he can go fuck himself.
Right.
But I'm okay with, okay, like, we'll sit down at a time when it's not about, I won't be taking away attention from somebody else. The Huffington Post, HuffPo, still in business apparently, fired their social media editor for being incredibly racist on
social media.
Social media, Cam, you got it.
I'm about to say,
you got it, buddy.
We're about to say on social media, right?
You got it. That is the correct answer, Karen.
Yay!
At the goddamn job she's supposed to have, she was being racist.
Say, that's your whole job is social media.
They ain't caught me on camera. How you get fired on your day off?
Right?
Huffington Post fired a recently hired Los Angeles-based social media editor.
Also, we just got the gig.
Just got it. Grand opening, grand closing.
Probably didn't get to the 90 days before your insurance kicked in.
Nope. After her manager, her managers are alerted to the fact that she had an Instagram account belonging to the new hire that was spewing racist rants online. Using the now deleted Instagram account, Ashley Rose, who was hired earlier this month, targeted a number of people with the sort of racist invective you'd expect to find in the darkest 4chan threads. Y'all wonder why we stereotype and shoot your ignorant asses. You wanted a race battle in this country? You got it. But in the end, remember who makes the money in this country.
But you got a job at HuffPost, baby. Not Fox News.
Let's play who will be the next Trayvon, spelled incorrectly.
They normally do have spelling problems.
We don't wear Jordan, spelled incorrectly. Or Nike in this house, because Nike sucks politically. And his father actually fought for this country's freedom instead of sit in a jail cell. Others read, cones, porch monkey,
straight to the point,
and nigger. She included the hashtag MAGA. Now, I would say
so
that
she is not invited to the cookout?
Right, obviously not. But I would also say that, she could be held at Guess the Race. I mean, these are some good guesses.
Come on.
I spoke to the woman who runs the Instagram account that Rose targeted. She said she started because she wrote a post about supporting black-owned businesses. In response, Rose wrote that she would only support white businesses. From there, it escalated.
But you want that HuffPost money? Okay.
Someone asked Ashley M. Rose, why bring up her kid, though? And she was she responded, why'd it rub you the wrong way if it wasn't meant to be a rude black power post? I see you use professional language. All good. Tired of seeing your kid on my timeline anyway. Damn. She went at her kid.
Like somebody said, oh, she racist.
Mm-hmm. Nappy. Nigger. Porch monkey. Jesus.
Oh, there she go, nappy head hoes.
I'll let you know when Tommy has a great life like his parents and Coolio is upstate with like his. Niggas be niggas with Z's. Good grief. The woman targeted by Rose, who requested anonymity because she doesn't want any more negativity on her page or public attention, said she was taken aback by the vitriol the way Rose talked about her child. When Rose first posted, I knew the word nigger was coming next, she said. It usually does with that. Several of her followers emailed Huffington Post about Rose's behavior. Deadspin reviewed two responses from the company, one from HuffPost Corrections email account sent this morning. Thanks for bringing this to our attention. HuffPost does not tolerate discrimination in any form and blah, 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 jack yourself off. A different email from the same account came yesterday morning. Hello, thank you for bringing this to our attention. Miss Rose is not a HuffPost employee and is no longer working with us in any capacity.
Yeah, the first one was the generic one. That was the one you put out there to actually give people time to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody looked at it and was like, oh, she no longer works here.
I won't lie. I love hearing me a good old racist getting fired song.
Come on.
Another one bites the dust. Another one bites the dust. And another one bites the dust.
Hey! Guess another what? Them Porsche monkeys still got jobs. You don't.
Oh!
Let's go!
You know what I hate about Mondays? When you gotta go back to work? But I guess she won't have that problem anymore.
Books swirl it down the street with the people way down low. No sound but the sound of speech.
You the social media editor. But you had a lot of incorrect spellings in your social media.
Come on.
Maybe you need to learn how to edit yourself.
Come on.
Physician, heal thyself. I guess the ultimate edit is deleting your account.
Come on.
Hey.
Another one bites the dust.
Yeah, you ain't got no job this morning.
Yep.
Your insurance didn't even kick in.
Didn't even get your insurance. Didn't make it past the 90-day review process.
Come on.
But now you got a lot of free time.
All the free time in the world.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like you living in a post-job America.
Come on. Come on.
I hope your kids don't have to suffer because you ain't got no damn job.
Come on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Be up there in prison with Coolio, as you said.
Come on, all them coons and porch monkeys and niggas is now looking at your jobless ass.
Mm-hmm. Now, who the fuck hires a social media editor without checking their social media, though?
Come on, now. Somebody did not do their job.
This is just sitting out there, huh?
It had a real name attached to it too, didn't it?
Yeah.
Right. Yep. Somebody didn't do their job.
Anyway,
I could see, you know, if it was Angela MAGA Make America Great Again with a last name, I could see you not finding that account. But you know, she put her real name on there.
0 to 100.
Oh, 0 because she lost grand opening and grand closing.
Okay. Yeah, I'll give it a 0. I'm not fucked with. Bye. An Alabama newspaper publisher calls on the KKK to get the ropes and clean up DC.
What is happening here?
What happened to y'all just gentrifying like normal? Now y'all got to bring the KKK back? Can't you just keep driving the prices up on all of the blocks and putting new weird square houses on people's fucking brownstones and shit?
Right,
can't,
that don't nobody want.
What happened to just opening up Pike's old fashioned soda shop and Korean cuisine on the corner Fusion Avenue,
making a 200 square foot tiny house and talking about this is the wave of the future? Don't nobody want that.
Right, don't you have some projects to bulldoze? What the fuck
right.
is this?
Well, you charge $3,000 a month for a closet.
What, it wasn't going fast enough for you, so now the Klan gotta come back? Jesus. An Alabama newspaper published an editorial column for the KKK to night ride again.
What's the night? Oh, when they go through the city at night.
Yeah, I guess that's what it's called. I honestly, how racist you gotta be to know the like TM for that shit? You know
right,
what I'm saying?
Cause y'all not trying funny. Like, I'm young, so I'm like, night ride. What is we night ride known?
Right, like you gotta be ride real,
up, but that's not the same thing.
Like, you gotta be a real racist to like pull that one out the closet to be like, oh yeah, we had a name for that.
Come on, whole name.
Like, we had, remember?
What is called a night rider and cross burning night tonight?
Remember the night rides? Like, no, I don't remember that. Mm-mm. Like, yeah, it was dope. We had a great time.
Come on!
Come on, Klan!
Come on, let's suit up!
We got a hanging coming!
Woohoo! Let's go hang some coons!
Atrium Health, for now. heart,
oh wait,
cancer,
what is this,
pediatric care and more.
Sorry. Mm-mm. I didn't even hear that in the background. That was some article, but yeah. Get my cross burning.
Come
kit.
On. Baby, hand in my hood.
That's the only kit I got, the cross burning kit, okay?
Come on.
But Michael, these niggers need to die.
You goddamn right, and we're gonna go hang them tonight.
Michael, it's time to burn some black people's houses. That's right, kit. So did they name Knight Rider this knowing that it was racist? Because now I'm
second guessing him.
Now I'm looking at my childhood.
I mean, it was a white man driving a black car.
I mean, looking at my childhood kind of differently.
I mean, it was red. Was them red lips? I don't know. I mean, you let me know what's happening with Kit.
I'm just trying to figure out.
I mean,
like,
that was my jam, you know, but it wasn't like Duke of Hazzard where it was blatant. So I'm trying to find out what's happening here.
I'm looking at you, Hasselhoff. What happened, bro? First Hulk Hogan and now this shit.
I mean, come on.
The Knight Riders. Okay. I didn't know that. No wonder y'all spelled Knight with a K. Okay. Michael mm-hmm. Knight. KKK. Okay. I mean, Kit. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I know there's one more K in that show somewhere I just ain't thinking about because it's been a long time.
Right.
Probably the people that sent them on missions was named K something too.
Right. Fucking up my childhood. That show was my jam.
First, I found out that Dukes of Hazzard is the fucking Dixie flag, and now this. What the fuck happened in my 80s, okay?
I know. Was there a flag inside the black coat? Nobody told me. I mean, was Kit, like, internally KKK? Y'all just coated up with black leather? Let me know what's happening.
Mm-hmm. An Alabama newspaper published an editorial calling for the Ku Klux Klan to Knight Ride again. The editorial in the Democrat Reporter newspaper in Linden, Alabama said the KKK would be welcome to raid the gated communities up there. You know what that means, y'all. Them Obamas. Don't sleep. That's what they was talking. That's that they need to get them Obamas. Apparently referring to where Democrats in the Republican Party live in and around Washington, D.C. The editorial blamed both for plotting to raise taxes in Alabama. Always comes down to the money, don't it? Goodloe Sutton, the newspaper's publisher, told the Montgomery Advertiser that he wrote the editorial and he was unapologetic. If we could get the Klan to go up there and clean up D.C., we'd all be better off, he told the newspaper. We'll get the hemp ropes out, loop them over a tall limb, and hang all of them. Sutton also claimed he was not calling for lynching of Americans. These are socialist communists we're talking about. Sutton also rallied against socialist communist ideology in his editorial, saying it was for the ignorant, the uneducated, and the simple-minded people. Lawmakers from the state slammed Sutton and urged him to resign. Doug Jones, who only won because of black women, but it's not that much better, said, oh my god, what rock did this guy crawl out from under? This editorial is absolutely disgusting. He should resign now. I have seen what happens when we stand by while people, especially those with influence, publish racist, hateful views. Words matter, actions matter. Resign now.
Right. And then, you know, people like me are overreacting when we be like, hey, y'all do know that this is the shit they want. They actually want to take it all the way back when nobody had no rights to white men, right? Mm-hmm. Women didn't have no rights. Nobody had no rights. Poor whites didn't have no rights. If you weren't a rich white man, it was fuck you. They want to take it where people work for free. That they want to beat and whip and chain and have us own us as property. Like, that's literally what they're trying to take it back to. And people bring that up, people act like you're so fucking far-fetched and you you're the psycho with the tinfoil hat. The fuck I am.
Mm-hmm. The Knight Rise is coming back. Watch your back. Mm-hmm. I can see it.
Come on, that's what you're gonna hear when they start showing up in DC.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like, what is that music?
I can see it. Looking for some niggas.
Yay! Hey! Looking for them niggas.
Hanging them. We hanging them. We looking for them niggas. I can see it. I can see it now.
They're like, bringing
that shit was racist.
Hey!
That shit was racist.
Lighting up the fires.
A racist ass bob.
Come on!
Looking for them niggas to hang them, kill them. We looking for them niggas. We hanging them, we killing them.
we bringing them crosses. Hey, getting my matches. Hey,
Michael, where is the gasoline? Nobody remember that show. Anyway, 100.
Racist bop.
100.
Yeah, 100 is zero for the song, because now that bot will be jamming now. I'm not going
to
lie.
I'll have to go back.
It'd be the first time that beat have a beat.
Go back and watch that show. Let's see. Let's get into some guest the race, guys. All right. We've had fun. We need to start wrapping up around here, though. I'm sorry. But before we get to guest the race, of course, today's guest the race is brought to you by Triangle Wine Co. Okay? Triangle Wine Co. is trying to help you out and help you get your wine on. They have all kinds of wines, thousands of wines on their website, trianglewineco.com. You can go and search by price, variety, region, all kinds of stuff. And make sure you get all these deals. And speaking of deals, they want to give you 20% off. There's a 20% discount on wine, excluding the already discounted wines, through the end of March with the code TBGWT. Okay? And you still have the Couples Gold 2-pack, which I will put the link to in the show notes.
Mm-hmm.
So make sure you guys go ahead and get that as well, because we are trying to bring in we all need a drink. Okay? This
has been a rough month.
This Black History Month, it's gonna take some drinks to get through the end, okay? And who knows what they got planned for Women's History, so stock up.
Come on.
Okay, go to trianglewineco.com, use code TBGWT to get 20% off of wines. And of course, the Couples Gold 2-pack, which is already discounted from like $30 to like $20. So help yourself, okay? Treat yourself. All right, let's get into some Guess the Race.
Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time.
Boop-a-boop. That's right, it's time for Guess the Race, the game that goes all around the globe. We find different articles that we people do crimes and shit, and then we make people guess the race, and Karen plays along, and the chat room plays with her, and of course everyone playing is racist. All right, I almost said the fucking with black people thing again. All right, a sleeping man wakes up to his wife cheating and stabs lover, said the cops. Shit. Yep. Charges were filed against an Indiana husband who says he stabbed another man after he woke up to him having sex with his wife.
Woke up? Oh, shit!
He was in the other room taking a nap and woke up and somebody was in there fucking his wife.
Come on, shit. Damn. Motherfucker.
Michael Neal, 29, was arrested early Monday at his Elwood apartment, where he allegedly busts his cheating spouse. Neal told police he woke up in the apartment and discovered his wife engaged in sex with a male lover. He then allegedly grabbed a knife from the bedroom and stabbed the man multiple times.
I mean, what was the fuck he had in the closet? Y'all sound like y'all was in the same house.
Mm-hmm. In the same house. Officers arrived at the scene around 12:30 a.m. to find the victim outside suffering from multiple stab wounds. I guess he was like, you ain't gonna be the only one stabbing something up in here.
Come on, we all stabbing some shit.
Police arrested Neal on a felony charge of aggravated battery with a deadly weapon. He is being held without bond in Madison County Detention Center. Stabbing is still under investigation, although seems pretty straightforward to me.
Ain't no investigation, no. Mm-mm.
How many times I got to prove my love?
Stab, stab, stab.
Well, can I guess the race of Mr. Michael Neal?
Michael Neal was a white man who had enough. Okay. Shit.
Damn. Motherfucker. Shit. Damn. Motherfucker. Shit. Damn. Motherfucker.
See what the chat room guess for this guest the race. Sounds like an episode of Snap, or maybe I should say sounds like an episode of Snap.
Come on.
Not a cook, crazy ass white boy white, come in to break you off black. white to the white meat white, didn't stick and move white man with a wife that hates him white, and white version of Johnny Taylor white. Someone put cracker as well. The correct answer is, and most of you, I think everyone went white, it was white. Now I know after the Super Bowl, a lot of y'all lie to pretend y'all don't fuck with them, but the actual more appropriate song for this,
I didn't hear what you were saying. I live on my emotions, baby. Answer questions, but never maybe. And I'm not kind if you betray me. So who the hell are you to save me? I never would have made it, baby. If you leave in love, woman, well, I do up, and I'm taking up, but it's not my fault, cause I'm small dessert. What's coming next? Don't say a word. Wake up call, clock 2 in the morning with another one in my bed. Can't you come around here anymore? Don't you come around here? I don't feel so bad. I never wanted and I had to shoot him dead. He won't come around here anymore. Come around here, I don't feel so bad.
I'm just saying, y'all try to act like that's not a bop if you want. That's fine.
Come on, that's my jam.
Lying black people, my favorites. All right, let's go to the next one. Let's see. Speaking of men coming home and being surprised, a man returns home and finds a stranger and kids living there. Can I help you? Yeah, leave my house.
So you just drove with a whole nother goddamn family in there?
A whole family. Kent Foster says he knew something was wrong the instant he returned to his house in Union, South Carolina this week. A dog he had never seen before was in his yard, and a car seat was barricading his front door. He wasn't sure what was going on. Then he heard a baby cry. Moments later, a woman who he was unfamiliar with poked her head out the door and asked, "What are you doing at my house?" He said, "Excuse me, I live here." Standing outside his house while the woman remained inside with the door shut, Foster immediately called 911. As you do.
There's somebody that's living in your house.
When police arrived, a woman opened the door and said, "Can I help you?" He replied to the woman, "Yeah, the first thing you do is leave my house." The length of time from which Foster had been away from the house was not immediately clear. The woman identified by police as Savannah Reinhardt, 25, left the house wearing Foster's wife's clothes from head to toe. He said, two children came out wearing his children's clothes. The dog, he said, was wearing his dog's clothes. No, I'm just kidding. The dog, he said, had urinated in the house, and the family had allegedly moved into his clean home and had trashed it. He said, even eating his food. After being taken to the hospital to be reevaluated, Reinhardt was arrested and charged with burglary, neglect of a child, and petty larceny. Yeah, because if you ain't got to pay for the house, I mean, you're just in there doing whatever the fuck, right?
Right, so he's still paying property taxes, you know, because sometimes people do that where they might travel and be off or something, but you still make sure the house is upkeep,
right.
You know, light, power, gas, that shit's still functioning.
Like, this is some of that Miss Smart apocalypse rule shit, okay?
Oh, it was like free house?
The length of time which Foster had been away from the house is not clear. The woman identified was, he says, authorities do not know exactly why she allegedly moved into the home or chose that house. I spoke to the officer responding who said that in her mind she thought she lived there. Nah, that's called sticking to your lie. Okay, the Justice Smollett story. All right, method acting. Cause
come on, whose name is on the property? When I go to the property with this public knowledge, if I tag that address in there, bitch, your name don't show up.
You got to prove I didn't believe I lived here. I spoke to the officer, said she thought she lived there. Her two children were placed in emergency protective custody. Foster said he still cannot believe someone actually moved to his house while he was gone. I feel violated. I feel extremely violated. Reinhardt has not yet entered a plea. It is unclear whether she has retained an attorney to speak on her behalf. Guess the race of Savannah Reinhardt, Karen.
Savannah White.
Okay. Karen's going with colonizer. Let's check the chat room. I discovered your house. It's mine now. Christopher Columbus White. delirious and privileged enough to think she can occupy a house that isn't hers, then question you on why you are in your own house, white.
Somebody white said full house white.
Full house white. It was full house, all right. White pop, crazy ass white angel, white colonizers never disappoint. Think they manifest destiny, other people's house white. Alabaster white queen of the house. It's like both of ours, but I'm just gonna stay here while you're gone, white. The correct answer is, and everyone got it correct because you all said the same thing, she was actually a full-blooded Anglo-Saxon female. All right, let's go to the bonus round, guys.
Double the points and the race. Double the points and the race.
That's right, double the points, double the race, and the bonus round against the race. So far, Karen is 2 for 2, I believe. Will she be able to go 3 for 3?
We will see.
We will see. All right. Let's see, go back to the page. All right, let's see. A bus driver was arrested and she needed Narcan to be revived from a heroin overdose following a crash with kids on the bus.
Oh
yes, that is correct, Karen. Oh. A bus driver was arrested after she allegedly passed out behind the wheel from a heroin overdose and rolled through an intersection and into a tree. There were 12 children on the bus at the time, all with special needs. But none of the children were injured. Lisa Bird, 57, was charged with 12 counts of endangering the welfare of a child, driving while impaired, and possession of drug paraphernalia. The crash took place in Newark, New Jersey, as she was driving home on Wednesday at about 1 p.m. Video obtained by New York ABC station WABC showed the bus rolling at a slow rate of speed through an intersection covered with snow from an ongoing storm and hitting a small tree by the side of the road. Driving while impaired is dangerous enough, but adding children to the situation, particularly irresponsible and heinous, said Newark Public Safety Director. Okay. That's the news report. Why the news report?
News report crook, ain't
it? Oh, that was an ad. Okay.
I was about to say news report crook.
Right? Oh my, what is happening? I'm telling you, Larry, to your home.
I
say no. Like Kanye doing this shit? What's going on right now? What song is that? That's my jam. Whatever.
Childish Gambino song.
Yeah, that's what it is. My dog Childish. Anyway, police sources told WABC the woman suspected of being on heroin. It's not clear when she took the drug. I would say before driving.
Recently,
Bird had to be revived on the scene by Narcan. With Narcan by paramedics. Narcan is the brand name for the drug naloxone, is used to treat an opioid overdose, including heroin. She was taken to University Hospital in Newark for further treatment. Endangering the lives of the children, something we can't tolerate, said the mayor. So guess the race of Lisa Bird.
Lisa Bird was white.
Karen's going with white. Let's check the chat room and see what y'all believe. Otto from The Simpsons. Real life South Park bus driver, white. This smells of super white privilege. Heroin says white. Newark says black. Black. Fuck them kids, white. White.
Oh.
Highway to heaven, white. Heroin, hell and white. None other than a Newark nigga. Black. Newark equal black. A lot of people saying black on this one. Heron, magic school bus, black. So y'all trying to say she was mom? Anyway. The correct answer is, and Karen,
mm-hmm.
You missed it. She is black.
Oh. Well, I'll take the L for this one.
And the rest of you guys got it right. They said black.
yeah, she black, yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, sword ratcheting this time. I'm trying to find a short one because we don't have much time, but these motherfuckers are long. How about this one? A man armed with a sword throws a weed whacker and a fiery pillow at officers during a standoff at a Strawberry Mansion home.
Oh shit.
He tried to urinate on officers, threatened to slice off their heads, and also tossed several items including a weed whacker and fiery pillow during a barricade situation in Strawberry Mansion section of Philadelphia.
What the pillow do to you?
I don't know. He was 42 years old, sitting on the front steps. He was armed with a sword and with a 2-foot long blade. He started swinging the sword at police. How is he alive?
Come on.
The responding officers used a taser on the unidentified man, but it had little effect as he pulled the prongs out and went back into his home, still swinging the sword. A barricade situation was declared. He threatened to slice officers' heads off. He also cut his own neck with the sword at least twice, causing minor injuries.
Oh, man, everybody getting sliced.
He repeatedly, if he don't care about himself, you know
he don't care about you.
He repeatedly told police he wanted to go to the hospital but refused to drop his sword. Mm-mm-mm. The man threw several items out of a window at officers, including furniture, weight, speakers, a knife, a door, a large piece of glass, a weed whacker, water, and a pillow. He said he had set on fire and a partridge in a pear tree. All right. All right. That's it for today's episode. Thank y'all so much for listening.
Thank you.
I'll add the, All right. Until next time. I love you.
I love you too. Mwah.